Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Becky Bradley, Executive Director, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and Joshua Dodd, Senior VP, Univest Bank and Trust. Welcome. This evening, we are going to review the results of the Greater Chamber of Commerce Cameron Afshar Survey of Local Businesses in October 2019. Just a little background, this survey has been going on a quarterly basis since 1998. Yes, we have been doing this a long, long time.
It's really impressive.
Including two recessions and two recoveries was completely covered with the survey. According to October survey, business sentiment and overall confidence in the local economy is still 5% below its January level. The index moved slightly up in July and October. However, the change is not statistically significant. The most pronounced aspect of this is the index is now 8% below its October level. Mitigating factor that the index is now going sideways instead of continuing to drop, although it is still trending down. It should be emphasized that despite the 8% drop in the index over the last four quarters, which is pretty sizable, the index is still trending in the range associated with growth. The October data, while showing across-the-board drop since last year, it shows some improvement in hiring over the last 6 months and plans for future purchases. Okay, Josh, you are in banking. You obviously the first line of defense. So businesses need money. The first entity they come to our banks. What do you see?
Cameron, first of all, I work with mostly privately held family companies in the Lehigh Valley and surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. And what I see is everyone is doing very well. What I see is the deliberation time. So it seems like what you described is a lot of what I'm seeing are intervals. So when it comes to business investments, when it comes to hiring, you know, businesses are very frustrated on the candidates that are out then and available, especially in certain sectors, truck drivers, the trades especially, and then some skilled positions for labor. So what they're doing is, you know, when they have a project and they need to do something, they pull the trigger. When they're not sure or they're thinking about and considering an investment, I find that they deliberate and talk to their advisors a lot longer and want to make sure that they're really doing their due diligence before they buy an expensive piece of equipment.
So they're a lot more cautious now than they were before.
They are, for sure.
Becky, you are the holder of the data for Lehigh Valley and all the planning that is going on. What do you see?
Interestingly enough, we still continue to see a lot of investment from outside capital into new development, things like warehouse and logistics, you know, the ever controversial warehouse logistics or industrial facility. We are still seeing growth in proposals for apartment developments. Mm-hmm. And there's been over 7,000 new housing units proposed in just the last 5 years in the Lehigh Valley alone. And it really isn't slowing down. But we saw that same thing right before the economic or the housing downturn last time. Okay. We're starting to ask ourselves the question, because a lot of this is coming from outside the region, an investment into the region, but it's really for people in the region. Mm-hmm. We keep hearing from the people that are leasing apartments that they can't build them fast enough. But with, you know, thousands and thousands of new units, you know, already on the market, and presumably mostly filled, and then another, you know, several thousand in the pipeline, can we fill those? So we're looking at things from a land development perspective. Mm-hmm. We aren't seeing a lot of investment from local entities outside of a few key development entities that are located here. We definitely are not seeing single-family housing development being done by local folks like it used to be. It tends to be more large developments from outside entities. Mm-hmm. But there is a demand in certain locations for some of that stuff still. But a lot of people are now starting to ask the question, can we keep accommodating this? Is it really what people want? We definitely know from a public sentiment perspective, and we just started, you know, working on some housing data updates, but really a lot of this came out of the discussions from Future LV, the regional plan, which was just adopted by the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission on Halloween. The public sentiment is that the product that is being built housing-wise in the Lehigh Valley is not matching up with what people want. And so that's an opportunity and a challenge.
Too few bedrooms?
No, not urban enough.
Okay.
Not dense enough, not amenitized enough, too much 55 and up, not allowing for young couples, families starting out to be able to get into the market because they don't want a suburban product in the same way that previous generations did, which we think is also one of the reasons that's the apartment, one of the factors, not the only factor, that's fueling some of the apartment consumption.
It's kind of interesting. The feasibility studies all work, but you don't know who else is doing the same feasibility and starting the project around the same time. And so many things come to market because it's a good idea. It's vetted. But look at water parks in the Poconos. How many opened within a couple years of one another?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a really good point.
And then the interesting part is that the permits for new buildings is still very, very low. So many of these are just plans as of yet. They have not come to a point that they request permits because if one multiple unit goes there and requests for 20 permits or 20 unit permits, will almost double the number of permits issued because last I checked, the total number of permits issued in the ABE MSA were 35.
No.
35, according to the Census Bureau. During the height of the boom, there were 400. During the worst of the recession, there were 100 permits issued per month. Now, the last number I looked on the census data said 35.
We don't rely on the census for that information because we track building permits closely. Every one of our municipal governments is required to permit or to submit building permit issuance to the Pennsylvania Department of Community Economic Development once a month. And then they put out the information on an annualized basis. That is the accurate information. Okay. We really aren't entirely sure how the census is. And we've asked a few times and, mm-hmm. and gotten kind of a window into it. But we're not sure how they exactly come up with their numbers. Because we know that there's a lot of construction going on. But interestingly enough, it tends to be more like a big project versus a bunch of small projects, which is a definite change from a decade ago, where you had, you know, two and three single-family detached mm-hmm. going up here and there all over the place. Now it's like one giant apartment development, one giant semi-attached or 55 and up community, another giant warehouse development with, you know, 7 million square feet, that sort of thing. But you really only are going to get a few permits out of that, but the actual impact and size of those developments is way mm-hmm. more than, you know, a house here and
definitely.
There.
Definitely.
Yes, yeah. Especially with the warehousing. And one thing that we saw in the national economy, and as you look at earnings, any of the larger upstream companies, the ones that are doing those warehouse projects, that they have a lot of funds, and anybody that has exposure to the U.S. consumer, those are really, you know, good places to be in terms of investments right now. And we're a pretty desirable area, obviously, for warehousing because you can reach so many consumers in a day's truck drive. Right. So it doesn't surprise me right. that we see as many projects as we do, and we'll likely continue to see that while they're still ground.
Right. And there's some other things driving that, too. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that piece of it, Cameron.
Sure, go ahead.
On the freight issue and why so much of it's coming here is not only the access to the consumers, which is one of the key pieces, but interestingly enough, we're considered less congested. And because with freight, it's all about how fast you can get it to the end user. Mm-hmm. And so we're considered less congested than the major metros around us. Yet as we build more and more and more of these mm-hmm. things, we are not going to be less congested, right? So, right. The other key piece of information on the freight and logistics component as well is, as we all know, Pennsylvania taxes are lower than the adjacent New Jersey or in some cases, in some situations, New York state. But we're so close to the port of New York and New Jersey, and that's really driven a lot of it. And that started really after Hurricane Sandy, because a lot of the grocery store chains lost, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars each in refrigerated and frozen goods, not having electricity. So in their minds, we're also seen as more, quote unquote, climate safe. And I say that with heavy quotations associated with it. And then the last piece of that, too, is just the fact that traditional retail is declining in the desire to buy more and more and more online. Those warehouses really are the stores of the 21st century. True. They just happen to be places we don't go to pick the things up.
And you get to know your UPS and FedEx delivery guy as your cashier almost. You know, they're the ones fulfilling it.
Right. Yeah. It's twisted. You're right. I know my FedEx guy.
Sure. Well, we don't physically go to them. We electronically go to those areas. Okay. Getting back to the survey. The largest index in the survey that dropped in October was the index of plans for future hiring. That was really red hot back last October, and by this October, it has dropped even below the normal range that it was in, and it is getting close to being in the negative range. And that's one of the issues that we are facing. While actual hiring, when we ask businesses how many people they hired last 6 months, that has been, although it is not as hot as it was last year, it is still in the growth area that we have identified for the Lehigh Valley over the last two decades. And however, this one is also quite a bit lower than what it was last year. So we are observing both of these indicators dropping down. And when we look at the payroll employment in Lehigh Valley, we have observed that since 2018, it has been running relatively flat. And that one is an issue of concern because of history, that when that indicator runs relatively flat, not great things happen. Josh, what do you see?
Well, we still see a strong labor market. Both wages are increasing and participation rate as well. Those are both good signs. Perhaps if there's positions that aren't being filled or created anymore, it's because payrolls are up considerably over prior years for companies. It's something that is noticeable for me when I look at, you know, our borrowers' financial statements. I do see wages up considerably. Mm. So could just be a budget thing. They're tracking above.
I know we hear when we're talking to a lot of the people we talk to from the business sector, and again, I don't know this as well as you guys do, but we hear from them that they're having a hard time filling certain positions, so they're just going to wait until the right person appears, which kind of build off what you were saying earlier. They're just delaying stuff until it's absolutely necessary. So they might actually be thinking about hiring someone, but they're not necessarily going to do it. I also think, too, that from a competitive standpoint, we're competing with more than the Lehigh Valley for labor. I can just talk from experience in hiring professional planners. They can go to Philadelphia or New York City, which is fun and exciting and all of these things, especially when you're a young professional, right?
Absolutely.
And we don't necessarily always have the magic that attracts and retains the younger folks. So I think that kind of factors into some of the managing expectations from the business community as well.
Well, one of the issues both of you referred to very precisely was the change in the concept of urgency, as that people are taking it a little bit easier, because I had a client that this years back was concerned about filling in a position, and I explained to him that since the Phoenicians invented something called money, you can always fill in a position. It's just how much you offer. And he said, well, I'm not in that much of a hurry. So, but when business is hot, businesses will be in that much of a hurry and raise the pay that they're giving. One of the things we always analyze are who are the those businesses that are increasing employment, which ones are not doing it. And we observed that the larger businesses had net addition to their hiring a lot more than the smaller businesses. And we expect that normal process going. The slowest always have been businesses with less than 6 employees, which incidentally constitute more than 50% of all the businesses in Lehigh Valley. About 80% of these businesses in our survey have neither hired a new person during the last 6 months nor fired a new person. But their net gain was that their 11% net hiring, even in that group, which is smaller than everybody else. One of my students did an analysis on the changes in plans for hiring among different size businesses. And she found the interesting part was businesses employed between 11 and 20 people. They were the most agile one, most changing, most rapid. And they had reduced their plans for future hiring compared to what they said 6 months ago to what they say now by a significant amount compared to generally all the businesses that we survey have reduced the amount of what they're planning to hire in the next 6 months. But total reduction is about 7%. However, when it came to the agile businesses, the 11 to 20 employees, they had reduced it by 36%, more than a third drop in what they were planning to do in 6 months' time. So historically, they were usually the lead. The others would follow. So that's one of the conclusions that we expect to see happen. Two aspects of the current environment is most intriguing, and one of it is that businesses are really not laying off. About 4% of all the businesses participating in our survey said that they have laid off people. And that has been consistent, coming from about 6% in 2017 to 4% currently. Almost half of what it was during the boom years of 2004, 5, and 6. However, on the hiring side, during the boom years, it was 33%, 28%, all of those. And now it has dropped to about 20% now. So there is an easing on one end. To your points that people are not in a hurry adding. But also, on the other hand, whoever they have, they're holding with both hands. They don't want to let go because the growth is still there. The economy is still expanding.
And I think that points to optimism. I think some of the numbers you mentioned, you started by saying the hiring was up 11%, payrolls were up year over year. So if you just went through the expense and the pursuit to find the right person for the seat, you don't necessarily want to hold on to them, not necessarily be at risk of losing them and having to go through the process again.
Right.
True. And it is we are at the top of the hill. The economy is doing well. It is just that, are we going to go down the slope or this going to continue with which direction? Yeah. We're going to take our first break. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Becky Bradley, Executive Director, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Josh Dodds, Senior VP, Univest Bank and Trust. Okay, we were talking about purchases, employment, and now we are getting to the section on purchases. When we are asking our participants about what their plans are in purchasing over the next 6 months, as well as what they did during the last 6 months, we observed an interesting dichotomy. They have significantly reduced their purchasing over the last 6 months. However, when it gets to the next 6 months, their plans are still relatively flat and are apparently not changing. But we have observed that before over long period of time. Planning is at times significantly more optimistic than actual. And Josh, what have you seen?
Well, I just noticed that inventories rose a little bit, which is not unexpected for this time of year. It was just a slight gain. As you go into the end of the year, I deal with manufacturers, so these would have been, their customers. Typically, they bulk up and then they kind of stop mm-hmm. placing orders in the month of December until the new year. So that's not surprising. Transportation orders were down, I saw, almost 3%. That's a big number. And I don't know if that's could be attributed to the GM strike. Then locally, we have the Mack truck strike. Or maybe you can't find drivers to drive the trucks, so you're not replacing them. And that's all transportation. That could be, the local contractor that drives a truck as okay. well. Not necessarily over-the-road transport. Machinery has been up, and that's interesting because with automation, that could be a transition. Some of my manufacturing clients have lost a lot of their lesser skilled employees to the warehousing. It seems to be some higher wages as you drive down through the major arteries in Lehigh Valley, see billboards about job fairs. And some of them, have left to go work at Amazon last year only to be laid off in January, February and asked to be hired back in one instance. So it could be that, the manufacturers are kind of forced with, this is the time that we really need to automate more of the shop floor.
Right. Vicki, this is an area of your specialty. What
yes.
do you see?
We just released Future LV, the regional plan, and there's a whole section on future forces in it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, and obviously I focus a lot more on the transportation side of things, but the U.S. Department of Transportation is training organizations like mine all across the country about autonomous and connected vehicles. They're real. In fact, there's a company here in the Lehigh Valley called Royal Trucking that's developed an autonomous construction vehicle mm-hmm. That would be, it would help keep the workforce out of the right of way when repair work is being done. So, I mean, there's practical mm-hmm. things like that happening just as much as there's these practical technologies. Like even Mack Trucks is working on some of these issues of the driver shortage and what does that mean for trucking over time. I think the timeline on autonomous vehicle deployment widely is longer, but there are going to be these, quite frankly, we don't have it's connected and autonomous vehicles because the vehicles have to be connected through cellular systems and the like. So we don't necessarily have the infrastructure for all of that yet, but it's happening. AT&T alone has invested, over $3 billion in the Lehigh Valley in the last 5 years. So, a lot of things are happening to support some of the automation and then the robotics inside the actual manufacturing. But then how we live and how we work is changing substantially, too. Yeah. I kind of had a question for you, Josh, too, related to the transportation and trucking piece.
Yeah, Becky.
Does that account for this sort of rise in these second job, like Uber delivery service sorts of things? And
yeah, the numbers I have were on orders for transportation equipment.
Okay.
So it would be the titled vehicles that are rolling stock.
Right.
But yeah, certainly there's people doing that. I did see UPS was planning to hire the seasonal, what were they shooting for, 50,000 employees in a single day earlier
yeah.
this week?
Yeah.
What a number.
Right.
And we're all going to see the convoys in a couple weeks, the rented rider trucks that are coming through and delivering packages for, those
right.
big carriers.
Yeah, even with the autonomous trucks that are going to be here, the local deliveries initially will still be done by these by mm-hmm. similar the entities that they are doing at the present time. Although I was talking with one of the guys in Amazon, and I asked him about the drones and what they are doing, and he said, "Oh, their engineers are not working on them." I said, "Oh, you gave up?" He said, "No, our lawyers are working on them."
That's right.
Pass it over.
Yeah, but the other thing too, we cannot overlook. is the fact that, like, I regularly order groceries through my Amazon Prime account from Whole Foods. I schedule a two-hour delivery window, and it comes to my house. That's not delivered by a delivery truck or a van. It's delivered by a person in their personal vehicle. I also recently just got something else that I ordered from Zulily, which has a footprint, South Bethlehem here, and that was delivered by someone in a personal car.
Yeah.
So I think the market itself is shifting. And so how maybe we think about these things in the future is definitely going to change. Yeah. And we're talking about things too, like if they've 3D printed a bridge in Europe and they're testing it for vehicle movements. This isn't a pedestrian bridge. It's an actual vehicle bridge. Well, that lower cost of construction in this, you know, tax-averse environment where we really aren't funding our infrastructure to the level we need to. So there, I think all of this stuff affects employment and the economy. If you don't need as many construction workers because we can print these things
and
on site.
And they're not available.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that cutting-edge corporation called U.S. Post Office has tested long-haul trucks over 1,000 miles. So this is coming. This is not like this is Jetsons and it is just a cartoon. This is a real event that's happening. And the way I'm looking at the division of labor that will come because of this is that a lot of very well-paying jobs that are currently around will not be, simply because of that the technology has got to a point which with artificial intelligence and all of these programming, many of these things are at hand. It is just that taking it through the process of having them approved and the risk analysis that goes with all of these things is extending the time that they would have had been going around. I was talking with a banker friend of mine who lives in a on a big farm, and he was and I was talking about these drones going, and he said, "Oh, great! It's kit with gifts attached to it." The thing is that we will shoot it down, and then it will come down. And I actually asked my Amazon friend about this. He said, "Oh, these skits have cameras on them."
Still air rights going across other people's property, too. There's a lot of things to work out.
They fly apparently over the electric wire right of way. They make arrangement with them to fly over those because those are right of ways in private property so that if they give them permission, they could do it or on streets on particular thing. It is a lot more complicated than it initially looked like. So, okay, you attach this to the drone, it gets it there, drops it on somebody's head and goes back.
Well, even if you have a central delivery driver going into a large neighborhood and just loading and unloading these drones and staying in one you know, stationary position, that's a big help and time saver right there.
I think the drone deployment thing, that's going to happen, I think, in a lot more rural areas and will happen for medical supplies and war zones and things of that nature. You'll see deployment there first. I think a more interesting thing, at least for me on the transportation side, is Uber is piloting autonomous helicopters right now, and their whole premise is that they would land on the top of parking decks. This stuff is real. So Uber is already planning to eliminate the driver that is the new entrepreneur, right? The new side gig that a lot of folks have. They're already planning to replace them. They're already planning to replace them with vehicles and with, you know, other fancy things that are you'll start to see in more urbanized areas first. So we really are in the middle of this fourth industrial revolution. There is so much, I think, excitement about the future and technology, but simultaneously, what do we do now? And I think that then factors into some of the day-to-day business responses that you're going to get from people who are out there doing the work every single day. They're not going to run into this stuff, you know, without knowing that it's real.
Yeah, and the concern about what is going to happen is the biggest part of all of these things and goes beyond a lot of entities. I was talking with an educational institution that teaches commercial driving and so people can get licenses. And my suggestion to them was that please make sure that you tell these people not to spend their life savings expecting that there is, they can 30 years of truck driving ahead of them. Those long haul truck drivings that was very lucrative, it's worth you spending your life savings to get a commercial license and do it, that is gone.
Well, have them consider construction, because it's going to be a long time till you might build a bridge and it's more prefabricated. I hadn't heard about that. Sounds very interesting. I'll have to look it up, Becky. Mm-hmm. That's more of a prefabricated, and you still need installers on site. But construction, I mean, there's so many people retiring from construction. They typically retire a little bit earlier because of the the tough labor and tough on one's body. But it's there's a real shortage right now. And I know some of my construction clients aren't, their pipeline's full. It's really tough to include another bid.
Sure.
And those go out for the commercial jobs a couple years.
Yeah, you're right. I think you might see, you already do see the 3D components of buildings being printed, but not whole buildings per se mm-hmm. yet. I mean, yeah. They're doing some small little things, but you still need people to install. You still need people to repair. That's going to be a longer time horizon.
And I think a lot of the reason you see the prefab is more on the public projects that are union, so you can make it offsite to get around the union and have a union person install what they made in a factory.
Well, there's a lot of components for housing that are made offsite too, roof mm-hmm. trusses and things, and they do that in a climate controlled environment, so they're actually more stable. They deliver them on site, but you still need the trained professional, carpenters and things like that to be able to install them.
It will change significantly as we are going forward. Actually, one of the biggest issues that we are looking at is we are training our students from high school to university, college, through what was. We are looking back. This is the way it was, but all the jobs are changing. Job definitions are changing. Now we have classes that are 100% on the net. The student doesn't set foot in the class. But as a teacher, you can see them. There's a different programming. One I use is called Zoom. You can talk with the students are there. You can see everybody. They can see you. So there is still some connection there. It's not that you're just talking to a blank and then anybody wants to talk back. They push a button and something lights up. No, you can see them. And so it is a lot more like a real classroom. But it will change the process. Look at the millions of dollars expenditure in all these buildings, all the universities that have this fixed cost is huge. Mm-hmm. If there are no students coming to class, many of these will no longer be necessary. And one of the largest educational entities expanding in Lehigh Valley is called Southern New Hampshire University.
Yes, I've heard them advertise, and
I have heard of them quite often. They have, I don't know, more than 100,000 students across the country, and that's the way the process is. You don't need to build a gym for your students to go exercise or have basketball games, any of those things. So the change in the nature of the process is going to be huge. As an old guy myself, I think that I would be missing that contact, that college life that when I was young I went to. It was fantastic. And when teaching with students, being there is a different environment than an electronic picture. But it would be a lot faster. It would be cheaper. So I think that's...
Yeah, you have to be nimble. I mean, I know you taught at Moravian and now DeSales. The changing demographics are coming as a result of the Great Recession, right, if you will, mm-hmm. the 2008. Fast forward 17 years, 2025, there's fewer seniors in high schools headed off to college just as a result of the recession. Birth rates were down.
Okay.
So
it'll be interesting
what the future holds.
I got a chance to talk to my friend Nancy Dishnot from the Workforce Investment Board yesterday, and she gave me an interesting tidbit because we were talking about something similar but a little bit different. And she said to me, there's as many as 25% of the colleges and universities in the United States of America that are potentially no longer viable.
Wow.
Because of the tele-education, mm-hmm. that might be the old person term for it, but I don't know what else to call it, video education, whatever, on-demand education pieces of it.
Online education.
Right. There's all these different things, right? I can call up courses now if I want to learn something. I think it's incredible. Mm-hmm. But she was saying also, too, the birth rate piece of it. And then also people are making the choice not to go to college because it's gotten so expensive in some regards that they're making different life choices because they see the peril of Gen X and the millennials and still being under the crush of student loan debt when even some Gen X people folks are starting to send their own kids to college and they're just getting out from underneath their own student loan debt.
I have to do a shout out here. My wife has a younger cousin and we're very proud of him. He graduated last year from Penn Tech, which is a two-year school in welding, and has earned a very good living. He's just age 21, started work a week after he graduated in May of last year. He welds big vessels for Air Products.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's going on, 2 years there already.
Dichotomy in terms of available employment as we are going forward would be huge based on things like welding still until a robot welder comes about. And there are obviously robot welders. Mm-hmm. It's not like a look like a CP3O. It is a machine that runs up and down. But the concept will happen. But still there is a good 20, 25 years left. But there will be a dichotomy between highly technical programs that students can learn in technology and then getting to art as one of the major aspects that will expand over the future. And the third leg would be basically manual things. You are expert in doing that, expert in construction. There will be modules, as Becky said, but it will be coming in a form of somebody has to eventually put it together, no matter how many parts of those are built by 3D printers. Okay, guys, we're going to take our second break here. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Becky Bradley, Executive Director, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and Josh Dodd, Senior VP, Univest Bank and Trust. Guys, we're talking about what happened, the economy, robots, all the fun stuff, drones. But back to our surveys. One of the most interesting thing we have been observing with our survey of Lehigh Valley businesses is that their report of how much their the gross revenues increase is dropping. And that is very interesting considering how well the economy is doing. We are now in the 123rd month of this recovery, the longest. The last recovery was 120 months between April 1991 and April 2001. So we now have the record in terms of number of months of recovery, and it didn't start 3 years ago. It started a long time ago, more than 10 years going. And the question, of course, always is when would the recession happen? When would the recovery end? Purchasing Managers Index has dropped again below 50. And historically, in at least this century, this index has dropped below 50 four times. Twice it was followed by a recession. Twice it just bounced back out. And which one would this be is, of course, something we're going to discover. One of the issues that exists right now is that the deficit, budget deficit every year, has increased to a level that is 4% of GDP. We have never had anything resembling this other than during the Great Recession. And the biggest problem with something like this would be that if the government needs to then go and rescue the economy from a recession, as we did in during the Great Recession, preventing it from becoming a Great Depression, If the government now wants to go in and rescue the economy, the availability of funds is almost non-existent, because then all of a sudden the deficit will become a much, much larger percent of the GDP. And to add further negative news to this one, is Wall Street Journal has raised its probability of recession above 40%. Last time it did that was in January of 2008, at the beginning of the Great Recession. This doesn't mean that that's going to happen, but at least it is a somewhat frightening coincidence. And Josh, as a banker, you are looking at the inverted term structure of interest rate. Now, all of a sudden, you have to pay more if you borrow for 2 months than if you want to borrow for 10 years. Yeah, what gives?
Well, I'll get to interest rates in a moment, but we're entering our 11th year of expansion, right. And that's a pretty good party, and it's a really good run. Mm-hmm. I heard Chairman Powell speak last week when he cut rates again on Wednesday, and I think his expectation was 34% chance of recession in the next 12 months. So, you know, we have 100% likelihood of having a recession at some point in time.
That's true.
That's the only thing we can say with certainty here today. And as it pertains to interest rates, I think one of the, and also to both the deficit and the national debt, is that, you know, we have a lot of, and when you look at our T-bills, we have a lot of external creditors and companies that are organizations and countries that don't have a place to really go. So, you know, when in terms of credit quality, I think that's why you have the lower end of our interest rate curve so low, because of the demand for our T-bills. Germany and Japan don't have the same kind of, you know, credit markets that we do. And if you see the, you know, look around the world, you see that everybody's kind of sluggish, where the, you know, U.S. is the exception right now. So when you have that flight to quality, and there's not, you know, as much bonds issued by Germany and Japan, they're going to buy ours. So that's going to keep the lower end of our interest rates down.
But lower end is as down as it is higher than the longer end because of the inverted terms.
We're seeing that correct itself a little bit lately in the last, it's been, the trend has been better in the last 60 days than it has been. But we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Our banker is equivocating. Becky, what do you see?
I really think, to kind of tie it together, because, you know, we as a region have to think about how we're going to enhance our economy and diversify it to not only rise to the challenges of all these fun things that we got to talk about with technology and the fourth industrial revolution, but also to just have that prepared workforce so we can ride through these things without seeing people losing their homes or being kicked out of their apartments or whatever the case may be, making different decisions and having to put a car on a seven-year loan. You know, if we're already having trouble affording our vehicles in some cases, and in a lot of cases, from what I understand, going into a recession, which you're right, it's going to happen at some point. Let's hope, A, it's a short one, and B, that we can do things locally to insulate and prepare ourselves for that. I think one of the things that about this region that impresses me a lot is the fact that it doesn't matter what the economic condition is. We are generally conservative enough all the way along the line that we don't get hit as much as you see happen in other sorts of boom and bust areas. And so I'm hoping, you know, as things change and aren't as rainbows and unicorns as they've been for 10, 11 years now, that we'll be able to do the same. Yeah. But we have to talk about it on shows like yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the factors that affects Lehigh Valley is very much similar to people who lived through the Great Depression. It became very conservative, Lehigh Valley, going through the 1980s, when all of a sudden everything went upside down. I did an analysis on W-2s issued in Lehigh Valley in 1979. It took until 1988 for the amount adjusted for inflation to get back where it was.
Wow.
Almost 10 years. And there were a lot more people working.
Sure.
So the average W-2 was significantly lower. So that was like a depression for Lehigh Valley.
Sure.
So people, to your point, people are a lot more conservative here because of that experience. It was devastating. At the time, I just started teaching at Moravian. I came here from South Carolina. And then all of a sudden, it was like they turned off the switch on the town. You drove there for a restaurant or something. Every other one was dark. And that was a very, very bad time. The recession of 1982 nationwide here lasted through 1984. And that was a significant impact on the region. So there, people are a lot more conservative. But the preparation for something like this, at the same time that changes, all these changes are coming, and considering every time there is a recession, there is a change even in mode of production. Because businesses get used to, okay, I have to do this thing differently, so how do I do it now? I have a client that that they have a union, and they had a lot of issues, and they have all these equipment, machinery that they can buy, and it will replace 80% of the workers they have if they buy that, and they have the funds to do it. I'm sure that if push comes to shove between the arguments they have and events that are happening and healthcare and all of that, they will pull that trigger one of these days. And they are not unique.
Is it the Turnpike Commission? jokes aside, I haven't been through as many recessions as you have and haven't studied as many, but hopefully it would be a soft landing, more like 2000. I think, with 2008 being so recent in everyone's mind, from sure. consumers to business owners, I don't think we're going to see that again next time when we do see a recession, just because it's front of mind and consumers have deleveraged quite a bit. Becky points out, talking about 7-year car loans, and everybody reads articles about the rising cost of autos, and the one that really struck me is all of the REITs that are investing nationally in single family residences, and the millennials seem to be leasing their homes no matter what their salary range, kind of like they lease cars. Mm-hmm. Use it, but never really become owners, which is has other implications about building wealth, long term.
Sure.
Oh, you're looking at leasing as a European car that is advertising. You can buy, lease, or subscribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, includes insurance and maintenance. Yeah.
That is a brand new event. Right. And this is before the car would self-drive and several people would subscribe to the same car at the same time. Now, only one person can subscribe to the car at the same time. But by the same token, the cost would be so much higher as opposed to leasing it, as opposed to buying it. Because then if you want to people subscribe to your car, then you charge more because of the damage that will happen to the car. It won't be new, the second person who's subscribing to it.
Well, sure.
Well, I'm going to be the optimist and say, because I know we're wrapping up the show shortly, that the consumer is still strong, gas prices are low, people are comfortable in their jobs. We're going to have a great, holiday year for the consumer, and we'll see what next year brings. It's an election year, so people tend to be jittery about investments. If you have Becky and I back next year, we'll probably be talking about that.
Yep. I agree. I also think, too, that, we have just now recovered, housing values have just now recovered from the last downturn. And you brought up something about the on-demand economy, and it's, beyond cars now. Now it's into houses. I don't know what that means long term, but thinking about what that means is going to be really important, because that's going to affect everything from zoning at the municipal level and what you can and can't do to just how we get around. I think that's both the most exciting thing and the most terrifying thing that you could talk about at the same time. So from that perspective, especially as it relates to the regional planning that we do, investing in those basic things like our roads and bridges and transit system that allow businesses to continue to thrive and grow, but allow us as individuals to get around is going to be a key component, I know, of what the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Lehigh Valley Transportation Study is going to do. But that one uncertain piece of the fact that the federal transportation bill expires September 30th next year, right before we vote on president, you know, there's going to be, I think, that political uncertainty building off of what you said, Josh, that we're going to have to account for going forward. And I don't think that's going to breed a lot of confidence, not only between the American voter, but probably business.
Or businesses, yeah. That the elephant in the room that we are all dancing around and not touching on is what Becky just mentioned. The election is coming, and the politics of next year will definitely enter all of these events. That's why the concern of many is that if government goes for a $1 trillion road project or something like that, at this point in time, how it will impact everything else. And I'm looking at it from the financial point of view, that the deficit, the impact on interest rates, and the fact that if interest rates go up, which if government borrows that kind of money, they will definitely go, how many of the private businesses would be basically could not compete in that kind of market, and technical term of it is crowded out because the rate goes up and they will not borrow as much. So the level of uncertainty for next year is significantly higher than the statistics that we are talking about, because these are basically in an environment that is the unsaid sentence always is, if everything else is the same, this is what's going to happen. And these are always maximum likelihood predictions that are coming about. But the change, Becky, to your point of the on-demand process is, think of warehousing. If you get to be able to predict what is the demand for a warehouse is and how many trucks are on the road to get there and unload, and how much it will, the demand will be from it, and what you need to order, and have an artificial intelligence program monitor, make sure everything is happening, is actually one of the projects that my students and I are working on. But it changes the whole process. You don't need to load up all those things in if you have a predictive model that predicts what's going to happen. And then you have an artificial intelligence that says, okay, you predicted 21, it was 18, correct it, and corrects that it goes forward. Then of the values, because that is on time instantly. Yeah. It looks at today, and you said you predicted over a 10-year data, but today is this way, and corrects it on a daily basis. So that changes the number of people we need in all of these things, changes the whole process as it is going. And these changes that are coming from primary need is to change the educational process for people to learn a different way of what would be happening. Today that our Rotary Club president of one of the universities was giving a talk, and he said a very interesting thing. We shouldn't change the road to accommodate our travelers. We should change the travelers to learn how the road is and learn how to walk on that road, because we can't change the roads, but the students we have, we can train to learn that this road has changed and these are the new environment to face. But what it would be is the biggest part. Mm-hmm. Parting shot.
Well, just figure out how to automate these trucks. Banker. And get them on the road at night so it doesn't screw up our 9-to-5 commute. Yeah.
Good luck.
Again, I just want to leave everybody with optimism for the end of the year and uncertainty for next.
Okay. Thank you.
On a similar optimistic note, this time of change is also equally a time of opportunity, even if we are going to walk into a softening of the market at some point in the future. The fact that, you know, we as a region have a plan for the region that ties our land use and our housing and our economy and our infrastructure investments together is a very rare thing. Yeah. And so I think having an opportunity to think through and talk through those things and build those collaborations and platforms, because, you know, we at the Planning Commission certainly don't do everything. You know, banks do portions of things, you know, economists do portions of things, our educational system does portions of things. But the fact that we've all come together and said this is what our priorities for the region are is going to give us an advantage and help us continue through these changes in the market.
Definitely having a plan and a well-researched plan, as you guys have put together, is absolute necessity for making the impact less negative as we are going forward. Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, had fun.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.